short, rare rains, while dairy cows and livestock endured intense heat. By June, the drought covered more than half the United States. As Illinois Public Radio's Daniel Hajek reports, this record-breaking season raises questions about climate change in the Illinois heartland.
It's a cool September morning as McLean County farmer Jim Kelly begins harvesting his family's 3,000 acres of corn and soybeans. It's a great day to be out in the combine. Clear skies, a light breeze, and the trees and grass are green and revived. But Kelly's corn crop tells a different story.
It didn't get as tall, and the leaves aren't as prolific as they normally would be with a normal type of moisture.
This summer marks one of the driest on record in Illinois and the warmest January to August period in state history. Let's go back to the start of July. Two-thirds of Illinois is under severe drought, just as crops are at their most vulnerable.
Corn was getting to its pollination stage here the last couple of weeks, and that's been some of the hottest and driest weather of the summer.
To make matters worse, conditions are perfect for one particular pest. Kelly starts up his sprayer, a huge tractor with long, extendable arms filled with insecticide. Hordes of tiny but destructive spider mites are infesting Midwest beans. They attach to leaves and suck out what little moisture these plants have left.
With all the hot weather and the dry weather, they're beginning to be a problem.
Kelly sets off to save his struggling crops. Down the road at Rob Lee Dairy Farms, 60-year-old Steve Schwer is working under the hot July sun. His 36 cows roam dry, dusty pasture.
These cows weigh 14, 15, 1600 pounds, and when it's 100 degrees, they'll suck down 50 to 60 gallons of water in a day.
And they lose their appetite.
So if they don't eat, then their production drops off.
This week, Schwer is losing 250 pounds of milk a day from this heat. But he says this is just the beginning. Lower estimates of corn and soybean yields will raise the price of feed.
There'll be livestock operations that will definitely curtail completely, either get out of the business of the livestock operation, or they will drastically reduce the number of livestock that they feed through this winter.
There's no end in sight. On August 1st, McLean County is declared a natural disaster area as drought conditions move to extreme.
Absolutely, it's extreme.
That's Dr. Dagmar Budikova, professor of geography at Illinois State University.
But whether it has anything to do with climate change long term, that still remains to be seen.
Budikova says blaming the drought on global warming isn't so simple. The northwestern United States had a cooler summer, while Florida and Maine had an exceptionally wet June. And while Illinois was experiencing its warmest March on record,
there's parts of Europe and Asia that were experiencing abnormally cold conditions.
That state climatologist, Dr. Jim Angel. He says this year's drought goes against expectations for climate change in Illinois.
If you look at the pattern in the last 20 or 30 years in Illinois, we've actually been wetter than we have been drier. So we've had more problems with too much rain and not as much drought.
While Angel says it's unlikely that we'll experience a drought of this magnitude again next year, Budikova argues that
in a warmer world, this type of a summer would become more normal,
which could mean more flash droughts, more insects, drier soil, and scorching summers. Climate modeler Dr. Donald Wibbles at the University of Illinois says the long-term effects of climate change on agriculture are troubling.
I think it's going to be devastating in terms of the potential impacts over the century, even the coming decades, to our children, our grandchildren, and their children.
Still, farmers like Kelly remain optimistic.
We're still hopeful that our turn's going to come here with moisture.
Finally, relief in September. Remnants of Hurricane Isaac dump over 4 inches of rain across McLean County. Angel says the drought eased in a matter of days.
This may be a record for one of the fastest disappearing droughts I've seen so far.
Isaac's arrival was a month late for farmers, but back in Kelly's combine, his corn is showing hope.
It has done well for the conditions that it had to grow in this year.
Typically, Kelly will get around 200 bushel per acre in his fields. This year, it varies, with yields averaging between 160 and just 90 bushel per acre. Still, better than expected. As weather returns to normal, Kelly says he's ready to put this summer behind him.
I've had friends, and we've been out to Las Vegas ourselves a time or two, and they'll talk about gambling. And I said, well, I do that every year with trying to grow a crop of corn and beans, so the gambling part, I don't need to go out there for that.
With climate change threatening Midwest agriculture, this summer could be a glimpse of things to come. But as for next year, farmers like Jim Kelly and Steve Schwer hope that they'll be dealt a better hand. I'm Daniel Hajek.
A sport that originated in the 1930s is trying to build a new audience in cities worldwide, including Champaign-Urbana. Roller derby leagues have sprung up throughout the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and other countries. In all, more than 150 leagues are part of the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, including Champaign-Urbana's own Twin City Derby Girls. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert reports.
The first thing you notice about the modern version of roller derby is that it's played on a flat track rather than a circular one. It's a Wednesday night practice at Skateland in Savoy, and Coach Andrea Rundell is conducting drills to build up players' endurance.
Wednesday night league practice, everybody in the whole league comes, regardless of their skill level. And so we generally do some relatively basic stuff and endurance, because it's a really tough on your body kind of sport.
About 30 skaters from the Twin City Derby Girls home and traveling teams are under her instruction at tonight's practice. Players range in age from 21 to 49. Tammy Tunnell, or Hot Tamale, as she's known out on the floor, is the oldest derby girl. She's a breast cancer survivor and says getting involved in roller derby was therapeutic.
Well, I came out, and the nice thing was they didn't treat me like I was a cancer patient. You know, everybody else, I was getting, you know, even at work, you know, people were like, oh, you know, tiptoe rounders got cancer. They didn't treat me like that. They still beat the crap out of me. They didn't care.
Just like the circular track roller derby you may remember, the object on a flat track is fairly simple. One team's jammer must get around the opposing team's skaters, also referred to as blockers. These women attempt to clear a path for their own jammer. The jammers score points on their second and subsequent passes. Participants in roller derby come from all walks of life. You even come across the occasional university professor, like Kate Clancy, or, as she's known on the track, anthropologist.
The idea of getting to play rugby on wheels is really appealing to me, and just being a professor and a mom means that I have a lot of pent-up aggression from various stressors in my day.
Kate's husband, Brendan, one of the many derby widows connected to the team, nervously looks on with their 4-year-old daughter, Jane, in tow.
It's not quite like I'm petrified she's going to be injured. I just hope she does well.
The Twin City Derby girls take their fair share of hits, but not the kind you might expect based on movie depictions of the sport.
Let's get them! Kill them dead! Skate fast, skate hard! I'm going to puke!
In the 2009 film Whip It, Ellen Page's character takes her share of abuse on the track.
When I first found out I made the team, I watched that movie, and I was like, oh, I hope I can be as awesome as them. But we're not really that aggressive, but I'd like to be sometimes.
Despite a torn ACL this season, Ashley Waters is making the most of her season by coaching. Her Cedar Rapids roller girls took on the Derby girls at a recent bout in Danville.
As I said before, this is a bout that's sanctioned by the WFTDA, the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, which means all our paperwork needs to be...
There's a sparse crowd at the David S. Palmer Arena, maybe 50 people. But that hasn't dampened the spirit of fans like Gay Cullen, who's cheering on her daughter, Susan. Susan Young, a.k.a. Cattiness Evermean, says ultimately roller derby is a friendly competition.
That's what's kind of weird about it, is as aggressive you are and you knock people down and you don't want people to get hurt, but you certainly want to try to slow them down a little bit as much as you can. Then afterwards, everybody's friends and they're giving high fives and you come out and play the best game that you can.
Two Twin City Derby Girls league teams, the Damaging Dames and the Pain, meet up in a league championship match at Skateland in Savoy this Sunday. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
There's a slideshow of pictures, a roller derby bout video, and links to the Twin City Derby Girls at our website, will.illinois.edu.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 5th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of the Philosopher of the French Enlightenment, Denis Diderot, born in Langres, France, in 1713. A good friend of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, they met regularly at cafes in Paris to talk about music and philosophy and their troubles with women. Diderot was the chief editor of Encyclopedia, the first book of its kind, a reference book, to subject all of the entries to rational analysis. For example, the entry on Noah's Ark tried to estimate how many man-hours Noah and his sons must have spent shoveling manure off the boat. He wrote about coal mines and fleas, about duels, bladder surgeries, stockings, metaphysics, and how to make soup. It was Denis Diderot who said, "Man will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest." It's the birthday of Helen Churchill Candie, born in New York City, 1858, who wrote a how-to guide in 1900 entitled How Women May Earn a Living. She had to do that after her husband became so abusive that she had to leave him with her two children. She wrote books about the decorative arts, a novel, moved to Washington, and became an interior decorator. She was in Europe early in 1912 and sailed back home on the Titanic on its maiden voyage, was rescued aboard lifeboat number 6, and wrote all about it for Collier's Weekly magazine. And it's the birthday of the rocket scientist Robert Goddard, born in Worcester, Massachusetts, 1882. He was inspired by H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds to try firing rockets, made a liquid-fueled rocket in 1914, and then one that ran on solid fuel. On this date in 1926, he completed his first successful launch. The New York Times made fun of him back in 1926, and in 1969, after Apollo 11 left for the moon, the Times printed an apology, but Goddard had been dead for 24 years. Here's a poem for today by Diane Ackerman, Come Picnic on Mars, for Zoe, age 5. On a distant glad November when our hearts are running high and the dream bats all have vanished into the limestone of the sky, why don't we take a fiery stroll straight up to Mars, just you and I? We will pack a mental picnic for years before we go. Some will say the sky's the limit, but we will answer no. The mind